Well, recently, as a family, we watched a documentary that has Will Smith stars in. I don't know if you've seen it. I think it's on Disney Plus. I think that's where we saw it. And it's called Earth. He begins the documentary by saying that he's never climbed a mountain, only once entered a cave. Sorry, I've just turned my mic on here, Ed. So he starts the doc... Is that better?
Here we go.
He begins the documentary by saying he's never climbed a mountain, only once entered a cave, and he's never swum in a lake. And I think, wow, he's been in so many action movies, and you think he's done at least one of them, but he hasn't. And in this documentary, he asks some adventurous people to take him to the ends of the earth, and they respond, "Oh, we'll take you further than that." You can imagine what you're set up for. Well, the first episode, they walk down into a volcano. Will Smith's with an experienced climber called Eric Weyenmayer. I'll call him Eric because that's a lot easier. Now, in the episode they begin to climb up the outside of the volcano. And this guy that's with him, Eric, they talk a lot, Will and Eric, the whole time. And Eric's got sunglasses on this whole time. And he says a few times to Will, "Oh, can you feel that?" And you're thinking, well, that's a bit of a weird thing to say. Anyway, he said, "Can you feel the sound of the volcano?" Now, Corinne and I actually have climbed an active volcano many years ago, but nothing like the one that they climbed. It was constantly erupting. As they came to the top of the rim of the volcano and looked down, Will is in shock, visibly in shock as to what he can see and he can see what's making the noise. Lava is just being spat up from this volcano, and as it's, you can see these globules of lava going up into the air, and then they just become solid and they land on the ground as rock. And they're going to walk into it. Now, as they walk down, Eric then surprisingly says to Will, "Tell me what you see." Now, what was unknown up to that point is that Eric is blind. And he's the experienced climber. He's climbed Everest. He's climbed up other mountains. And here he is about to enter a volcano that he can only feel and hear. He can sense the danger, but he can't see a thing. Now, what struck me about this whole episode is that as the episode finished, Will Smith leaves that volcano able to see a lot clearer than when he went in. See, what Will learnt to see was sound. It gave Will a bigger picture of what was happening around him. He got to hear the rocks rolling, the deep, deep bass of the eruptions, as Eric taught him how to listen. He heard the whizzing of the lava that was flying through the air and a whole lot more. It's quite incredible to see how Eric was able to help Will see the volcano much, much clearer. And I'll never forget what this guy told Will. He said, "When you look with your eyes, you can only see in front of you. But when you look with your ears, you have eyes all around." Such a great picture, isn't it, of being able to see all around you. It made me think of my sister, who was partially blind. We'd try and sneak up to her and scare her. Of course, I was younger than her, and that's what you do as a younger brother. You always annoy your sister. And we'd sneak up behind her, trying to get close. And just when you think you're about to scare her, she'd just say, without even turning around, she'd say, "John, I know you're there." Blind people can see a lot more than you expect. Now, we celebrated Jesus' birth yesterday. We saw that the angels declared that the Messiah had come to rescue all people. And when I think about the passage that we're looking at today, we're looking at a picture of Jesus coming to the temple soon after he was born. Not much has been said about this boy, Jesus. We know that the Old Testament is full of promises about the Messiah who would come to save the world. They knew he would be born. They knew he would be a king. They knew that he would save the people, but much of what this looked like was a shadow of the reality. Now, in many ways, what people expected wasn't a boy born in a stable. Now, in our passage yesterday, or in our passage today, we see two people are actually given insight into the coming of Jesus. Just like blind people can see more than we realize, these people were able to see the Messiah when he was brought into the temple. They were given the ability to see Jesus for who he really is and then let others know about it, that the Messiah had come. It seems a bit of a repeat of yesterday in some ways, with the shepherds who got told about Jesus who would come, and they got to see Jesus and hear about him. They saw him wrapped and lying in a manger. They couldn't contain their excitement and praise. And today we see Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple, and while they're there, two people identify Jesus as the Messiah and share that good news. Now, as always, we want to make sure that what I'm saying is not from my imagination, so let's get our Bibles open to Luke chapter 2 and we'll see what God's word has to say to us today. And as you look in your Bibles, I want you to notice that there's a lot of temple things going on here in these first few verses. In verse 21, we see that it's at the eighth day, the baby who was born is given the name Jesus. This is the name Mary was told to give him by the angel in chapter 1, verse 31. And then we see two other things take place. The first was Mary's purification, and the second is the consecration of Jesus. Now, verse 22, it was time for purification. Now, this was for Mary. Now, according to Levitical law, after giving birth to a child, a woman became unclean for the first 7 days after giving birth, and then at that point, the boy would be circumcised, so verse 21. And then after this, the woman would remain at home another 33 days for purification. I couldn't quite work out if she actually got to go to the temple with him or not. I suspect not, but I didn't find that out. At that point, she would take a lamb, some doves, and a pigeon to the priest in Jerusalem in order to get herself purified. And that's what we see here. We also notice that Mary and Joseph are not very well off. They don't bring a lamb with them. It's not required if the person didn't have the means. And it's great, isn't it, to see that God actually provides for those who are poor, even at the temple. He's even thinking about them at that point. Now, there are many reasons why someone becomes unclean, and if you're feeling like you need to find that out, then Leviticus is for you. This particular event is in Leviticus chapter 12, and it's a very easy read about women giving birth to children. But what I want you to see here is that Mary and Joseph are acting in obedience to the law. They're a faithful couple who trust God's plans for themselves. They're obedient to all the law that God has given his people. And that's the first thing we see, Mary's purification after giving birth to Jesus. And then the second thing we see here is the consecration of Jesus. And this you can see in verses 22 to 24 as well. This again, another order from God to his people. God wanted all firstborn creatures from the wombs within Israel, human and animal, to be consecrated to him. Now, meaning that he would be the owner of all of these things, all of the firstborn. Now, according to Exodus, the parent or the owner of the animal would then have to redeem the child or the animal. And what's going on here for Jesus seems to be very similar to what happened with Samuel in the Old Testament when he was given over in service to God. When Samuel's mother, Hannah, asked for a child, the Lord gave her a child, and she promised to give this son over to the Lord for his special purposes. She consecrated her son to the Lord. And here we see Joseph and Mary do the same thing with their son. I mean, they know that this child has come with the help of the Holy Spirit. They'd had visits from angels. They'd heard the multitude of angels that spoke to the, they'd heard about the multitude of angels that spoke to the shepherds. They knew that this child was a special gift from God, who was going to be used by God, and he was going to bring the redemption to Israel. He was going to save the world. So as obedient Jewish parents, they needed the child to be consecrated or presented to the work of the Lord. Now, they saw the reality of who Jesus is, and they respond in obedience. And in verse 39, right at the end of our passage today, you can see that they actually did everything according to the law of the Lord. So they're two people who have responded in obedience to God's commands on them. Now, they weren't the only ones who saw Jesus that day. If you look further down in our passage, you'll see two others, Simeon and Anna. They also saw Jesus as the promised Redeemer and Lord. Both of these people are godly people and devout followers of God. Both of them testify to the centrality or the importance of Jesus as he brought peace between God and humanity. Now, Simeon was the first to see Jesus. This is the larger section from verses 25 to 35. Now, he was told that he would see the Messiah before he died. I mean, what a promise to receive. Would you ever want to see the promised Messiah? Well, to know that you would see the Messiah, I think, would be a wonderful thing. The beginning of a new era for Israel, and Simeon was told that he would see the Messiah before he died. Now, we understand that he was told this by the Holy Spirit, and we're told that that day the Spirit moved him to go to the temple, and while he's there, he saw the promised Messiah. Now, this man was given a special insight into things of God, wasn't he? And when he saw Jesus, he knew that Jesus was the Lord's Messiah. And as he took Jesus in his arms, he praised God. He tells the Lord, "You've kept your word. I've seen your salvation. And now I'm ready to die." Simeon then spoke about Jesus, didn't he? He called Jesus the light that will bring salvation to the Gentiles. I mean, think about that for a moment. Here, Simeon is standing right in the middle of the temple, the place where God would speak to his people, the place where God would make himself known. But Simeon speaks about salvation as if it will go out from this place. It won't be restricted by this temple anymore. This will be the place, this was the place where people came to meet with God, but now the reach of this salvation is going to go out to all Gentiles, all over the ends of the earth. So things were changing. God sent his promised Messiah to bring forgiveness to the whole world. And if we went to the second book of Luke, the book of Acts, we'd see that this is what happens, that the news of Jesus goes out and no longer is that central place, this temple in Jerusalem, but it goes out with his people. And Mary and Joseph just marvel at what Simeon has said. Maybe this is bigger than they expected. And then Simeon tells them that Jesus will cause much division and there'll be much pain. And we know it to be true, don't we, as we read the New Testament. We know that Jesus grew up to be a man and started speaking about his Father's kingdom and it caused great division. It's what put him on the cross, and it's the very cross that would pierce Mary's heart, if you see there in verse 35, to see her son die on a cross. But it's this same cross that brought salvation to all people. And Jesus would take the anger of God away from those who trust in him. That's why he's the Savior. That's why he's the light to the nations. And Simeon was given the ability to see all this about Jesus, a special insight to confirm to those there on that day that the baby in his arms, Jesus, was the Savior that had been born. Simeon was given the ability to see what others couldn't. The other one who could see something special that day was, and who could really see Jesus, was Anna. We're told that she's where she's from, and we're given a very brief history of her life. She married young. She's now very old. Now, it's unclear if she's 84 years old or if she's actually been a widow for 84 years old, which would make her about 105. That's really unclear. It seems like she's more 105 than 84, in fact. That's what most people say. But what's clear is that she's really old in that time, which is amazing. And her life has been a life of prayer and fasting. What an amazing picture. And we're told that she's a prophet. And she also thanked God and then spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Israel. It's like there's people there waiting expectantly for the Messiah to come, and she comes and tells them, "Here he is, here he is, he's come. No need to wait any longer." Well, she spoke about Jesus to all those who are expecting something great, something new. and she would have told them that the Messiah had come. Now, this woman was given the ability to see things that others couldn't, that Jesus was going to bring in the redemption of Israel. Anna could see who Jesus really was as well. Now, I wonder if you see Jesus for who he really is. Simeon said in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Now, Simeon saw Jesus as the salvation that God promised to his people. The promise God made to all humanity is that the Messiah would bring peace between God and humanity. And this Messiah is Jesus. The relationship we have with God is restored through Jesus Christ. That's why Simeon called Jesus God's salvation. It's why Simeon said that Jesus is the one who would bring light to the nations. Now, these are all ways of showing us how God reached down from his heavenly throne to come down and receive us. He's done the work to bring us into a relationship with himself. I mean, do you see this? Do you see Jesus as the salvation that sent from God? Do you see him as the light that God has sent? Once again this week, I'm not sure if you read The Australian at all, but there was an article about a discovery in the University of Haifa in Israel. They announced this week a discovery of a synagogue in a place called Migdal. Now, it doesn't sound like a very big deal, and maybe it's not very interesting to you, but this is actually a very big deal. See, this archaeological discovery, like many other discoveries since Jesus walked on earth, has actually given us a lot of weight to the historical accuracy of the Gospels and the New Testament. See, archaeologists previously said that the Gospels were wrong, okay? That they weren't synagogues when Jesus walked around Israel, because there was no evidence. But just this last week, that evidence has been found. Only this week, can you believe it? The evidence keeps stacking up that the historical accuracy of the New Testament is true. It's amazing how even today, 2,000 years later, we're still finding out that the Bible is true. Now, that's probably not a surprise to us, is it? But it's great because it confirms to us once again that what we read about Jesus in our Bibles is an accurate account of what happened. And for us, the only real way to see Jesus today is to open your Bibles and read, isn't it? As we read God's word, we can see Jesus. We can be confident that what we have written for us is historically accurate. Historians all around the world confirm again and again that the New Testament is an accurate record of what's happened. Many of them don't believe it. Many of them don't believe some parts of it, but they don't deny that it's accurate. It gives us an accurate account of what happened to Jesus, the disciples, and many others. Now, Will Smith's friend Eric in the documentary Earth, which I mentioned earlier, was blind. And even though he was blind, he could understand the reality of what was around him. He could feel it, he could smell it, he could hear it. Now, for us, as we come to God's word, we might be limited in the senses that we can understand him. But as we pray and ask God to help us understand, we are given his spirit, which means that we can read in such a way that we can see Jesus and all that he is and all that he's done, so that we can really see who Jesus is. We're given extra ability to understand Jesus. So as followers of Jesus, we need to be people of the Bible. We need to read again and again. And as we do, we'll see Jesus clearer and clearer. We'll read parts of his story and see that Jesus is the salvation sent from God. We'll understand that he's the one come to rescue you and bring you peace. We'll see that he wasn't just a man, but as these past few chapters of Luke tell us, that Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He would be called the Son of God. He will inherit the throne. He's the king. He's reigning, and his reign will be forever. See, Jesus is no ordinary man, and the Bible makes this very clear to us. Now, this is our last Sunday for 2022. Now, I wonder... 2021. next year, 2022. Now, I wonder if you made any resolutions about the Bible this year. What a terrible thing to bring up. I'm sorry. Many of us fail, don't we, on those plans that we had at the beginning of the year to set a goal of our Bible reading. But I want you to think, as you spend time with family and friends or maybe on camp this week, why not think about how you're going to manage the spiritual side of your life? See, just like Will Smith entered that volcano and came out of the volcano able to see a lot clearer, as we look at the Bible and read it and understand it, we too will come out able to see Jesus more clearer, a lot clearer. As spiritual people filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be reading our Bibles. We need to make prayer a priority. And we saw this earlier in the year through Nehemiah. So if you have a family, make some wise choices as to when you're going to read the Bible together at home. As couples, make the Bible and prayer a priority in your relationship. As individuals, make space to get into the Bible. I mean, let's get excited about Jesus. Let's recognize who he is. And we can do this by reading our Bibles. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is the light given so that many people all around the world may glorify his name. So why not make 2022 a year of new habits so that you can see who Jesus really is? Well, let's pray that God may help us put on these good habits for 2022. Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he is our salvation. We thank you that the light of your gospel has reached the shores of Australia. Give us a passion to know this news and to grow in our understanding of it. Give us a passion to share this news with all around us. Give us a passion, Lord, to create good patterns that keep us in your word. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.